relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Seb Gorka. That is right. Jennifer Horn in today for Dr. G. Sebastian Gorka, he is out enjoying some time off. You can follow him on Twitter at Seb Gorka, and you can always check us out online. SebGorka.com is the place to find us. 833-33-GORKA is the number to join us in conversation. And of course, you can always follow me on Twitter, on Parler, Facebook, all over the place, on Instagram at Jennifer Horn. Now, joining us right now is one of the smartest guys out there in media. Jason Rance is the host of the Jason Rance Show. It's heard in Seattle on KTTH 770 AM. And Jason is going to be with us to talk usually about craziness that's happening in Seattle, but he also is moonlighting in some of the craziness that's happening in San Francisco. Jason Rance, welcome to America First.
Thank you for having me. I think it was the other night, Mark Stein, who was filling in for Tucker Carlson, sort of introduced me as sort of the guy you go to on the West Coast for all the craziness across the West Coast.
So, it's exactly right. I try to do my best here in California for Seb and for America First, but there is so much that, I mean, it's hard to keep track of. And just so people know, you do a show out of Seattle, Washington, and over the summer, you were vacationing in that crazy other place called CHOP, the CHOP Zone. And
I got my permit to cross the border just temporarily, and then at some point, they chased me out, so I had to sneak in.
I was going to say, did you get stamped on that passport when you crossed back and forth? Do they have the guards out for that?
Yeah, once they realized who I wasn't allowed to go back in, so I had to go incognito.
Now, we were talking about California. The California governor, Gavin Newsom, came out just about an hour ago, Jason, and talked about new restrictions in California. The shutdown continues for another 3 weeks in Southern California. Most of the state has not been open since March. I mean, it almost is laughable to me when they extend these closures because truly, for all intents and purposes, we have not been open since March. But that being said, in the city of San Francisco, there is some COVID policy that has kind of come into, well, been washed in the craziness of California. Some COVID relief, but only for certain people in the city of San Francisco. Tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, so let's do a quick setup. Obviously, in California, as you guys know, the orders went into place that basically said you can't have any outdoor dining. But before that, in San Francisco, they were allowing these restaurants and some other retail businesses and gyms to create these parklets that essentially allowed them to create these patio spaces where people can continue to serve outdoors to essentially keep their businesses open and keep some money flowing in. It was a lifeline for a lot of these businesses. But unfortunately, under these new mandates, those had to close as well. Okay, well, what does California have a lot of? San Francisco in particular? Homeless people who decided to essentially camp out in these parklets. They're sleeping there. They're using them as toilets. They are shooting up there. And it's causing a whole lot of problems for these restaurateurs in particular who spent $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 constructing these parklets that end up not being able to be used for their intended purposes and now being completely overtaken by the homeless. So the city of San Francisco is saying, okay, you know what, we're going to give you up to $5,000 as a subsidy to make up for the lost funding that you put in. However, because of equity, they're giving it to business owners who are restaurateurs of color. So if you are a minority business owner, you are going to be qualified for this, or you'll get extra consideration. Then if you're not, if you're just some, you know, white business owner, you don't get any special qualifications, which is, on its face, it's particularly disturbing, because restaurateurs, regardless of their race and gender and religion, they are suffering because of the mandates that are being imposed on them. This is not their fault. They didn't ask for any of this. They're all suffering because of what the government is doing to them. So for them to simply say, look, now we're going to further pick winners and losers, is just particularly egregious.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And they're not alone in the city of San Francisco. This has become a priority for relief being doled out in my city, the city of Los Angeles. There are all of these, I guess, ways to encourage diversity. But what's happening here is that the government is shutting down businesses. They're making situations so difficult. In San Francisco, what was once a beautiful city, Jason, it's being littered with not only excrement, human waste, but also needles. I mean, the city has really taken a dive. And for business owners, that's been extraordinarily difficult to deal with, because tourism is down already. Mm-hmm. Then you have the government come in and shut down restaurants. We're seeing already 2/3 of restaurants may not open up again. This includes in the city of San Francisco. Now they're saying, well, we'll give you help, but it's really based on the color of the skin of the owner. I mean, this is insanity.
Yes, but it's being done in the name of equity, which makes it woke. It makes it progressive.
That's right. Which, of course, it's woke insanity is what it is.
Reasonable people would look at this and say it's disturbing. The same way you and I would be outraged, rightfully so, if San Francisco said, oh, we're only going to give help to white people. We would say that's absolutely outrageous, because it
Horrible.
Is outrageous.
Absolutely.
And so we should have the exact same response when we're talking about an issue that is impacting everyone across the board in that city. This is not something that is unique to communities of color. It is not even unique to San Francisco or restaurateurs. It's happening to businesses all across the country, all across San Francisco, and they're all deserving of some kind of help, especially given that this is, and I said this the other night, of this is sort of the intersection of the thoughtlessness of the COVID restrictions and the incompetence of the homelessness policy. You know, COVID has only, I know a lot of folks on the left want to blame COVID for all the problems that they're suddenly finally acknowledging in these big progressive cities. But all COVID has done is shine a giant spotlight
That's right.
on problems that have already existed. Now, I will grant you, it probably hastened some of the problems to that tipping point. I certainly believe that. But these problems existed the entire time. This isn't even necessarily an issue of wokeness. This is an issue of the homelessness crisis. The city decided to allow homelessness to run amok. This is the end result of it, and it's just being made worse by the COVID crisis.
Yeah, and the homeless crisis does not seem to be going anywhere. In LA County, just to go in that direction for a moment, because this is such a big piece of the story, you're already sending the middle class out of the state of California. The lower class, the poor, are suffering more and more. When this eviction order, and at some point the eviction orders will be lifted, I can't imagine that the homeless crisis is not going to just spike. And it's not even necessarily that the homeless issue is because we don't have enough shelter for people, but when you couple in people's economic problems with the problems mm-hmm. of addiction, which are also spiking because of COVID-19. Jason, I can't imagine that this coming year, I don't have a lot of hope that this problem is going to get better for anybody on the West Coast. I think the problem only gets worse.
I think you're right. And I think the bigger issue here is we all see what the problem is, right? We all have, regardless of whether or not we identify as Republican or Democrat or, God forbid, a socialist, we all have a general understanding of what the issue is. Like, we point to homelessness, we point to drug addiction, whatever it is. The problem is the folks on the left do not have a solution. They're the ones who are in power in these cities that we ultimately end up talking about, because they're the ones that have the problems. The Los Angeles, San Francisco's of the world, Seattle, Portland, these are the cities that have the problems. They don't have solutions. They have a lot of talking points. They have a lot of big picture pie in the sky ideas. They have even plans to fund programs that don't quite exist outside of maybe some white paper somewhere, but they don't actually have any plans.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem. And that's why this issue continues to get worse and worse and worse. I've kind of made it a joke up here in Seattle where we're in year 16 of a 10-year plan to end homelessness. Let that sink in.
I know.
Homelessness not only hasn't gone away during the 10-year plan to end homelessness, it's gotten worse. Why is that? It's because, number one, the plan that they did have didn't work. They doubled down on really bad ideas, then they tripled down on it, and now they just kind of just gave up. And now they've given the city up, just like they've done in L.A. and San Francisco and Portland, to the homeless.
Jason Rantz is with us. Follow him on Twitter right now, at Jason Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z. He's the host of The Jason Rantz Show. He was just on Tucker Carlson's show last night with Mark Stein. And Jason, in our last moment, hopefully you can hang out for another second, because I want to ask you about some of the defunding of police issues that are going on in Seattle and across the country. But one of the things that they do have an answer for, Jason, in terms of the homeless problem, is that they throw money at it. It seems to be that that is the liberal government's idea of handling the issue. Here in California, we've had Proposition H, which passed with a lot of support by people in Los Angeles County, and they've built 238 structures. They're supposed to be up to 10,000 by this point. They built 238 structures, and each structure has an average cost of $745,000. That's how they choose to try to handle the homeless problem. And it just creates more misuse of funds and probably worse than that, fraud. Jason Rantz stays with us. We'll talk about some of the defunding of police and what that is doing to the police force in Seattle and around the country. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
I'm Sebastian Gorka on America First. Let's get back to the show with Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. He is out this week, but you can follow him at Seb Gorka on Twitter or sebgorka.com. Joining us again, coming back on America First, is our friend Jason Rantz. He's the host of The Jason Rantz Show, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jason Rantz. That's R-A-N-T-Z. Now, we're talking about some of the issues going on in San Francisco, but Jason, you are based in Seattle, Washington, and they're almost copycats of the California crazy culture. I think you guys are maybe coming a little later to the party, but you're showing up and showing up in a big way. Now,
it's kind of hard to figure out who's following who sometimes. It really is.
It's just a lot. We were saying off air, we're chatting a bit on the break, and we were talking about how 2021 is going to be an insane year of wokeness. There is going to be a lot of tripping over each other, cities, governments, sadly, that are going to be tripping on each other to outwoke themselves. And sadly, thankfully, people like Jason Rantz are here to call out the insanity. That's what Seb Gorka does on America First as well. So you have an article that's out. It says Seattle police are on pace to lose nearly 200 officers. Now, this is not a new trend. We've heard the same thing in New York City. We've heard the same thing in Los Angeles, where police in major cities are just out because they feel like they don't have the support from the elected officials that are supposedly representing the people. What are you hearing in Seattle about the Seattle police, and how much of this had to do with what some in your city called the Summer of Love, but we know was a summer of occupation?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the officers who are leaving just out of disgust with how they're being treated by the Seattle City Council, the lack of support from the mayor, the fact that they were just defunded by 18% with the promise of more to come in 2021, and just the basic inability to do their job without being demonized every single day.
Yeah.
And that wears on these men and women every single day. They're putting on that uniform. They're going out into the neighborhood. They're doing a very, very difficult job only to make arrests against criminals who don't end up getting charged and then just immediately get re-released to commit the same kind of crimes that they were just arrested for. And so at some point, these officers are just saying it's not worth it anymore, at least not right now in Seattle, not when you've got some really great other agencies all across this region that actually value police officers. Now, to put it into context, as of at least you know, Friday night when I dropped that story, the number of separations with the department are at 191. Putting that into context, for the most part, on average, you're getting mid-double digits of officers who leave, 50, 60, maybe 70. So to get to 191 in a single year is absolutely insane. We are at the lowest level of deployable staff since 1990. Since then, of course, the population of Seattle has skyrocketed. Since then, so too have crimes. Right now, we're in the middle of a homicide surge where we've got 96% increase year over year in homicides. We're seeing an increase in stabbings, in burglaries, in arsons. This is a serious issue, and we frankly, just to be blunt, we don't have enough police officers to keep people in this city safe. If, God forbid, there were two significant issues happening concurrently, we wouldn't have enough police officers to handle both of them.
It's frightening.
Just general policing in the city.
And you look and you see what happened in Nashville this last weekend, the Christmas Day bombing in Nashville. You saw the police that went out there putting their own lives at risk to save just so many people. Without them, it could have been an even more tragic event. And yet we still have this message that the police are bad, that the policing in this country is systemically racist. And I would ask you this, Jason, can you make any sense out of the idea that if you're getting people to leave the force, right, and police officers are leaving the force even before retirement because they're just fed up, they feel like they don't have support, it's an incredibly tough job already, and people are just making it so much harder. But when those people leave, who is going to be there to replace them? Who in their right mind is considering a career in law enforcement given the current climate? And then are you going to actually be able to say that we have the best of the best? Isn't that what we want? Well-trained, the best candidates that we possibly can going out there to keep us safe? I don't know if you're going to get that if this current climate keeps up.
And that's a serious concern, right? I mean, you'll have one of two types of people who become recruits. You have the person who says, you know what, I still want to be a police officer, and I believe I have what it takes to operate within this world. Someone who maybe is not the veteran officer who, you know, for lack of a better term, might be a little bit naive to the politics of it all and decides to step up, and very, very well may be an amazing officer until they end up getting jaded because of the politics that they haven't yet experienced. But
right.
On the other hand, maybe you get some of the activists who think that they are going to reshape the police departments in their neighborhoods in a way that is, in fact, more politically motivated. And that, of course, is not going to lend itself particularly well. I mean, here in Seattle, you've had this year only 47 new recruits coming into the department. Now, I don't have
That's
the
insane.
Dates of all of them, and so a lot of them were earlier in the year. They're certainly not coming towards the tail end of the year. So we don't even know of those 47 how many are going to end up being qualified to land on the force permanently with a role that's going to actually, you know, last more than a few years.
You know, we've been talking a lot in Los Angeles and on this program, actually, about George Gascon, who's our newly elected district attorney. And he has really... He's a nightmare. And I mean, a leftist, he rolled out what looks like a communist manifesto in the way that he wants to now have policing done and the way he wants charges to be administered to people. He's taking away police officers' ability to even arrest someone for resisting arrest. It's no longer a charge that's going to be allowed. You can't arrest someone for driving on a suspended license. I mean, the rules are being thrown out. We have in your city of Seattle a councilwoman who has been backing this idea about decriminalizing Seattle using the poverty defense, which is also being rolled out in Contra Costa County, which in California, which basically said you can loot and you can steal things if you can prove that you need them. So not only do you have limitations for officers and extra scrutiny, but now you've got people in elected office who are going in there and even changing the way policing is done because they just are against it in general.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that, and I don't mean this to be mean-spirited in any way, so I hope people don't take it this way.
We think you're mean.
The general public are inherently naive when it comes to some of these issues. And that's why it's so easy for politicians, regardless of their political beliefs, by the way. Republicans do this just as much as Democrats. They climb onto a movement or a mantra, some kind of slogan they throw out there that sounds really, really good, but doesn't actually mean what people think it does. So when, for example, Garcotto, any person says, you know what, I'm not going to criminalize poverty. Well, I don't want to criminalize poverty. I don't want to punish people simply for being poor. But that's not what their policies are talking about.
Right.
What they're saying is we're going to decriminalize criminal behavior. That's different.
And it's changing all of the rules. And what used to be something that kept our society in order is now being thrown out. And what's going to be left when all of the good cops are gone? It's a scary situation, but one that we are glad that you are following. Jason Rantz, follow him right now at Jason Rantz. Check out the Jason Rantz Show. And Happy New Year. All right, as we continue on America First, Andrew Cuomo making some big decisions about the future of the vaccine in his state. You won't believe who is going to be next on the list to receive a dose. We'll tell you. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. This is America First.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Welcome back to America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And you know, most of us probably pretty excited that we are getting very close to a brand new year. We're happy to see 2020 come to an end with the coronavirus pandemic and civil unrest in our cities and the election madness. This is one year we are all going to be happy to see in our rearview mirrors. But before 2020 ends, at midnight this Thursday, Seb asked me to remind you that there's still time to score a great year-end tax deduction while at the same time helping bring positive change to the lives of boys and girls who, through no fault of their own, have a mom or dad in prison. Now, that makes them more likely to end up in bad neighborhoods, near gangs, drugs, and other dangers. But that's where our friends at Prison Fellowship work miracles, whether it's through our just-completed Angel Tree Christmas campaign or their Angel Tree Sports Clinics or the awesome Angel Tree Summer Camps. A donation from you in any amount can literally change the life of an at-risk child. And when you go to SebGorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner, you'll also receive the year-end tax deduction I told you about. So it's a classic win-win situation. Now, it's getting late, but there's still time between now and December 31st, this Thursday, to help the ongoing year-round work of Prison Fellowship and score a solid year-end tax deduction for any amount you donate at SebGorka.com. You can also phone in your gift, 888-206-2794. So before you forget, do it right now. Go to SebGorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner. We thank you for always being so generous, and enjoy that year-end tax deduction in addition to your donation. All right, more COVID news. It seems like it is never ending around here. The governor of Colorado, Governor Polis, Jared Polis, came out just a few moments ago with a dire warning, because God forbid we give people good news around the holiday, right? We're all a little tired, a little fatigued. Oh, no. The governor in Colorado says, no rest for you over this holiday season. No, no. A more contagious variant of COVID-19 that was first discovered in the United Kingdom has now been identified in the state of Colorado. This is according to the governor. The health and safety of Coloradans is our top priority, and we will monitor this case. He said that a few minutes ago, as well as all COVID-19 indicators very closely. This was a tweet that he sent out this afternoon. This is the first time that the variant strain has been identified in the United States, according to reports. We heard it existed. Now, apparently, in Colorado, it has appeared. So, as Mr. G, our producer Jeff said, it is now going to be 15 years to flatten the curve, because clearly this crisis will not go to waste in many of our states. If there is a new variant, just as you think you're getting back to business or normalcy, if you're outside of the state of California anyway, don't let your heart be troubled, because there is another pandemic and catastrophe on the way, thanks to the governor in Colorado. Now, the governor of New York is also making news today. And this is pretty insane. There are just a lot of fear-mongering going on. And Andrew Cuomo has the authority in his state to discover or to decide how to dole out COVID-19 vaccines. Now, I know some of you don't want to take it, some of you are unsure, but if people want to get it, this is something that is a great accomplishment of the Trump administration that gives people hope. But it is up to the governors in states all across the country as to how to roll these vaccines out and to who gets them first. Well, apparently, Governor Cuomo, who is the same governor who stuck sick people into nursing homes and killed off a lot of aging Americans, did it on while he was writing a book on his leadership of the COVID-19 pandemic. He's now said that recovering addicts in residential rehab facilities will be among those vaccinated first against the coronavirus. He said it yesterday in his press conference. It was virtual in Albany. He said the state was expecting to receive a combined 259 doses of both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. And he said, in addition to urgent care center employees and individuals who are administering the COVID-19 vaccines for obvious reasons, he said that shots would be given to the Office of Addiction Services and Supports. Now, they run 12 treatment centers across the state. Five are located in New York City. And he said those congregate facilities are problematic and that they should be given COVID-19 vaccines. Now, here's the deal. It's not that I have any problem with people who are seeking treatment to be prioritized for vaccines, because they're in living situations, tight quarters. They're living. They might have roommates. These are facilities that don't oftentimes have a lot of room for social distancing. But has Andrew Cuomo absolutely lost it? Should we not be prioritizing the people who are most likely to die from this? Should senior citizens not be a little bit higher on that list? What is he thinking about here? What is everybody thinking about? We've all lost our collective minds. Let's take a deep breath. Stay away from people if you need to. We don't need these collective shutdowns. And vaccinate the people who are the most at risk, the sick and the elderly. Ugh. Take your phone calls on this. 833-33-GORKA. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. This is America First. Welcome back to America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. G. Seb Gorka, he's out. I'll be with you again tomorrow. But don't worry, the show is always happening. SebGorka.com is a place to check it out. You can find us on YouTube as well. And of course, you can always follow Seb at Seb Gorka. You can follow me too at Jennifer Horn on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler. We're everywhere. So make sure you check it out. All right. In the Can You Believe It file, apparently... We'll take your phone calls in just a few minutes. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call to join us. But apparently, there was a report where CBS This Morning's correspondent, Mark Phillips, went a little bit nutty. He devoted an entire report to fretting aloud that emailing and other computer usage, particularly home computer usage, because of COVID shutdowns, as well as other people being at home more, so they're consuming more energy at home, is actually counteracting the environmental silver lining in which a lot of liberals have tried to take comfort in during the pandemic. You know, we've all heard the story about clean air out there because no one's out in their cars. Well, apparently, Brainiac Central over here says, every email and text, especially the unnecessary little ones, every thank you, every you got it, every time we hit send or download or stream or Zoom, they all require power. Then if it gets read, it sucks up even more power. An email may use just 5% of the power needed to deliver a paper letter, but we send and receive gazillions of them. And doggone it, it's making the planet melt. That's right. Apparently now, even your Zoom calls, which you're being forced to do because you can't go to work, all of your emails, your thank you, you got it, see you next year, all of that is leading, well, it's upping the emissions and making the planet heat up. So while some of you aren't traveling or driving in your cars, there are some liberals who are very upset that you're working from home. Meanwhile, I don't hear one person, I saw a story out today actually. Remember how people were like panicking, like the fact that anybody had the audacity to use a plastic straw a few years ago would have had you like put up as enemy number one, especially in the state I live in, California. You ask for a plastic straw, people look like you've stabbed their Aunt Gertrude in the chest. Like, people do not like plastic straws around here. You have to deal with the paper ones, or like Starbucks does the sippy cups. And the whole reason people vilified the straw is because they said it was getting put, they were washing into the ocean, and there were a lot of sea turtles that were getting caught up, and they'd get straws up their nose. And look, I love the sea turtles. I love animals. Know this about me. But it just seemed like a really big emotional outcry of something that really could be contained just by making sure that you put your straw in like the proper receptacle. You know, I mean, it just didn't seem like a world-ending crisis. Now, there was a story out, I think it was in the New York Post, where like hundreds of thousands of disposable masks that everybody loves for you to wear out there, they're all ending up, guess where? That's right. In the ocean. This pandemic may not, we talk about the mental illness, we talk about the economic problems that have come from this pandemic. What we are not considering is the snowflakes and how they're going to make it through, knowing that there are masks floating around in the water and that people are sending emails, God love them, from home, and causing global warming. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call. Ken in Florida on line two. Hi, Ken. You're on America First.
How you doing?
Are you drinking from a straw or throwing or sending an email and causing the planet to melt? What are you doing, Ken?
Two plastic straws. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So to your last point, the masks, the fish can use them to filter out the BS that the Democrats are throwing out there.
Man, you know what, Ken? I'm telling you, that might be a good use for it. I wish mine worked for that. It seems to seep right through here in my state.
Right. Well, look, my original call was about voter fraud, so it's been a few minutes. The real quick point on that, tell people, just contact your congressman and your state representatives like I've been doing, and our governor. And I keep pushing and telling them that, you know, if they don't try to do something about it, I'm not going to vote for them again.
That's right. You know, and that's what,
tired of it.
Ken, you're right on the money here, because this kind of stuff, it is so important to handle these things locally and to have the conversation with the people that you have the power to directly elect and then also throw out of office. And you tell them you want them to look at this, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. This should be an American issue first when it comes to voter fraud, to make sure we have a free and fair election. Thanks so much for the phone call. Happy New Year to you. Missy on line four in West Virginia. Hi, Missy. You're on America First.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. I want people to take a second, focus, and use your brain to think.
All right,
I was a police officer in a county in Northern Virginia for 20 years.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
There were 1.3 million people that lived in the county where I worked. Mm-hmm. There were four hospitals. Each of those four hospitals have 40 emergency rooms and 20 ICU beds. So 1.3 million people, think about this, people. If we're worried about the hospitals being overwhelmed, shouldn't the answer be to erect more hospitals?
Right.
Think.
This is the point, Missy.
Think.
I can tell you my own experience from right here in Los Angeles where I live. And in March, when everything was shut down originally, they turned our convention center into a makeshift hospital. They brought in the big ship. They brought that in. It parked in LA Harbor. And both of those places sat empty. Now, they got rid of them. Why in the world, instead of scaring people and telling people who might be having chest pains, forget COVID, let's just, you might be having something like an ailment where you want to call the paramedics, you need some help, but you're afraid that there's not going to be a bed for you, so you choose not to get medical attention. Why are they doing that? They should add more beds. They should tell people that no matter what the crisis, we'll be able to deal with it. Because guess what? That's what we pay our taxpayer dollars for, and that's what we pay, that's what we elect people to do, is to problem solve, not just throw their hands up and say there's no answer.
Right. Next point, 65% of the United States workers work for small businesses. The other 35% work where? Federal, state, and local governments.
Right.
What does that mean? Who are you crushing? The 65%. Why? Save me, government. People, please do your research. A weak immune system makes you susceptible to illness. Who's getting the sickest right now? The elderly.
That's
why?
Right.
Because they live in a sterile environment in an old folks' home. They get exposed to zero sunlight, zero bacteria other than their own surroundings. And what do they eat all day? Institutional food, which has no nutritional value.
Missy, we're up against a break, but you are a gem. Thank you for that. Happy New Year to you. We'll finish up with your phone calls. 833-33-GORKA is the number to call. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Carr Firearms.
Carr Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment, Carr Arms, Magnum Research, and Auto Ordnance. Carr Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka on America First. It's been such a pleasure to hang out with you. This is kind of the week where things slow down, where people are spending time at home. And we wish you all a very happy new year as we look ahead into 2021. From all of us here, Seb, and from Jeff, and from, ooh, we've got a Jeff with a J working with us today. Shad is out. Eric is here as well. So happy new year to all of you from all of us. We are 1 week away from the Georgia runoff election. Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue, both coming out, getting on the record that they support increasing payments to $2,000 to Americans. Of course they do. Because what person who wants to win an election would ever tell you that they want to give you less money. So the promise is on. It's the right thing to do, I think, as long as we cut some other things from that bill to help out Americans who really need it. They say that we need to get relief to Americans right now. Meanwhile, some new polling is out that said Democrats hold a slight edge. However, the rumor is that the minority leader, Chuck Schumer, is a little worried, a little concerned that the Democrats are not going to fare well in this election, because even though they have raised millions and millions and millions of dollars, these two candidates, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, together, most of that money not coming from the state of Georgia, big spoiler alert, coming from the left coast in California and, of course, New York. Big liberal donors donating to the cause of these two candidates. They've raised a lot of money, but apparently they've also spent a lot. And Chuck Schumer says he's a little worried because coming up a week before the election, they're starting to run low on funding. Now, maybe he is doing that to try to get a little last minute spending going. But in any case, he says he's a little worried to people in his camp. A new poll says that it is a almost statistical tie in the Georgia Senate runoff race. They say Democrats may hold a slight edge, but again, they're also tabulating a lot of the early votes, which also tend to favor Democrats. All right, quickly here, because he's been holding for hours, Brent in Los Angeles. Brent, you're on America First. Hi, Happy New Year.
Hi, a victorious American New Year, Jenna Vark.
I am hopeful that you are right, Brent.
Yes, but I tried to reach you this morning on The Morning Answer and spoke to Don Dix and Larry Marino about a Trump plan that they loved.
This is how I do vacation. You've got about 10 seconds, Brent, so tell us.
And I called to promote a Patriot Citizen Parade that will reclaim the communist-canceled century-old Rose Parade in Pasadena on New Year's Day. And I called to protest the Sacramento sadists who, with fascist fiat, canceled the world-beloved Patriot Parade. And by word of mouth, I pray thousands of American patriots will drive, walk, bike, and roller skate joyfully joyfully and peacefully.
Brent, thank you for the call.
Colorado Boulevard.
I want you to start narrating books on tape. You are that good. I'm telling you. And you're right. The Rose Parade in California canceled because of COVID. Let's get out there and march. That's the American thing to do. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow. Follow Seb at Seb Gorka on Twitter. And thanks for joining us here. This is America First.